So has everyone found the passage in Matthew 11? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, hey, my name's Tom. If I haven't met you before, I'd love to do that after we're done in here. Last week, as Britt mentioned, we opened our series in Connected. Elliot preached about meditating on God's Word. I found that to be super helpful. Just by way of personal application, it made me go and look up, like, reading the Bible, reading the New Testament in 90 days. I downloaded a little plan and I've started on that. So Elliot, we honor you. Thank you so much for preaching to us last week. He had the icon on the far left. We're going to skip a couple and we're going to talk about we've moved forward. It's great. There's icons all over the place, and that was my fault for saying the wrong keyword at the wrong time. We started on the far left of the icons, and Elliot preached to us on the word. Today, we're going to skip to the fourth one. We're going to be talking about rest, and I do have other icons that I would like to show you. So let's play a bit of a guessing game. It's a guess what's in Tom's head kind of game. Let's pull up the white ones. When you say that you need rest, and you just go YouTube, podcast, books, whatever you do, here's some of the things that people are going to suggest to you about how to wisely pursue better rest. Let's decode some icons. Top one, they're going to say you need to eat more healthy. You need to eat more fruit and veg. It'll help you to rest better. Top middle there, someone might talk about, do you have work-life or work-study balance in everything that you're doing? On the top right, someone might say, hey, if you need rest, if you're feeling tired, you need to sit still, you need to do some yoga, you need to do some Pilates, you need to do some restorative breath work, you need to go on a little retreat. And for you, some of you, you may have actually found that that helps, and actually waking up in the morning, spending a couple of minutes just focusing, centering, lots of people find that to be really genuinely helpful. Bottom left there, some of you, you just go on a big holiday, right? You go overseas, you go to some resort, or you go do something really exciting, and that helps you to feel rested when you come back in to the new year. In the bottom middle, I have absolutely no expectation that you managed to decode that one. I was trying to find an icon for personality types. Incredibly difficult. The idea here is that different personality types rest and get restored in different ways, right? And at Christmas, we felt that most obviously, right? Because there's introverts and there's extroverts. And at Christmas, the extroverts are having a great time, right? Like, there's people all around, there's all these things that need doing, there's loud bustling and rustling, and I'm having a great time. And the introverts are in the corner like, make it stop, when's it stop? And that was Boxing Day, and you got to just pause and watch a really weird game of cricket. And bottom right, it may be that there's something medical going on for you, and you might find that doctors can actually help you with whatever's stopping you from feeling rested. And the reason that I highlight all of these up front is that if you kind of look outside the Bible and you're just looking for general wisdom, good tips about how to rest well, how to look after yourself well, all of these things have some benefits to them. But today, I take it that you're in church because you actually want to go deeper. You actually want the real stuff, and you're ready to see some profound truth from the Bible, from Jesus' mouth himself, about rest. And so as our pathway into that, I watched a little TED talk from this woman called Jotina Buck, and she had this really helpful little phrase that I'd like to open up today. She talked about bone deep, soul level tiredness, one that sleep alone can't fix. Have you ever felt that? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, it's a topical talk on the idea of rest, and so there's like 27 things I wanted to say, but I've kept it to three. I want to say three big things from God's Word that are going to help us connect to God through rest, and actually to say that if you are connected to the God of the universe, it will help you rest. Let's have a start. The first one that I want to point you to today is to say that knowing God, being connected to the God of the universe, brings the ultimate license to rest. It gives you the ultimate license to rest. Can I show that to you in the scriptures? If you've got Mark chapter 6 in front of you, or it'll come up on the screen. I want to show you that Jesus really cares about the rest that his followers get. Mark chapter 6, verse 31, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Isn't it good when someone you love who has the ability to give you rest says, hey, get some rest. And they give you a license just to lie down. They give you a license just to pause. Check this out. Jesus gives us license to rest. He cares about his disciples being in a good state. And so I take it that he cares about you. It is okay to take a pause. It is okay to rest. Let me take you to the further part of the scriptures. Let's go to Psalm 46, verse 10. This is one of those ones that looks excellent when you frame it and put it in a living room. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Last year, we actually tried an event that we called Still, and it was based off this kind of verse. It was kind of a de-stimulation event. The idea was just to be less wired, less active, doing less stuff, and just to pause and tune into the things of God. And if you came, I hope that you found it really helpful. Be still and know that I am God. Now, you can look in regular wisdom, and people will say that being still is a good idea. Usually they'll say, oh, be still, because the latest medical research indicates it increases longevity. And you say, well, that's a good reason to be still. What's the reason that the Bible gives us for being still? The logic of the passage seems to work kind of backwards, right? The idea is that there is a God. When you know that there's a God, it gives you the ultimate license to rest. Because there is a God, you're not it. And if you lie horizontally and unconscious, it's called sleep, the world will keep on spinning. You'll wake up and be pleasantly surprised. Oh, everything kept going without me. I can be still because there is a God and it's not me. It's interesting just to think about sleep for a second. I take it that God could have made us in lots of different ways. He could have given us higher sleep needs. He could have given us lower sleep needs. But he chose to make it so that roughly one third of your life is spent unconscious and horizontal. And when you sleep, what you are doing is humbly submitting to the way God made you. It's okay to sleep. It's basically just saying, I am a creature. I'm not the creator. And I'm happy to be in that place. So Jesus is really concerned with his disciples' rest. The Psalms help us to have a reason to be still. And if you come to the second page in your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it's almost as if the God of rest was in a hurry to profile the idea of rest right from the very start of the Bible. It's like the Bible opens and says, yeah, they created the world. Now, can we talk about rest? Chapter 2, verse 2, it's right there at the start. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So here's what I want to say. First thing today is that being connected to the God of the universe gives you the ultimate license to rest. It's okay to nap. It's okay to pause. It's okay not to be going the whole time. Now, as we raise Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, there's a pretty straightforward question that comes out of this, and we want to do the real stuff and not skip over the hard stuff. So we're going to spend the next 3-4 minutes doing a theological sidebar. If that's not really your thing, feel free to grab out your phone, just have a scroll for the next 3-4 minutes. I'll call you back. But we're going to go deep on the question of Sabbath, and we're going to do a little bit of theology here. The question is, should Christians do the Sabbath here today? And the question behind that question is actually, how does the Old Testament law relate to the New Testament? In 2026, am I supposed to do all the stuff that's written in the Old Testament, like the Sabbath? And it is possible, actually, that in a room like this, we might come to different perspectives on this. That's okay. This is an open hand issue. If you're familiar with the idea of closed and open hand issues, you can come to different perspectives on the Sabbath, and we can all still have unity in our faith around Jesus. But let me take you to it. If you get a bunch of theologians, a bunch of bigwigs in a room and you ask them about the Sabbath, eventually someone is going to say, let's divide the law into three types of law. We've got a table coming up on the screen. They'll say the law in the Old Testament, some of it was moral law. And moral law are things like don't kill. We like that one. We're keeping that one. We're going to say that those kind of laws are still binding on us as a Christian here today. But there are also civil parts of the law, and that's like how you should run our society. And as you read through the Old Testament, you say those aren't really binding on us anymore, but they are still kind of helpful. And you can learn things, for example, about prioritizing and caring for those who have less by looking at the way that God instructed his people to relate to each other in the Old Testament. And there's a third type of law, which is the ceremonial law. Here's an example. You get a sheep, you cut its throat, you spill the blood. It has something to do with the forgiveness of sins. And we don't do that anymore. Not because Jesus came to abolish the law, but because Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so here's the idea. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins in our place as our substitute, he is the Lamb of God, and so we don't need to kill any more lambs as part of the ceremonial law. So here's the thing, three parts of the law, which one is the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath moral law? Is the Sabbath civil law? Is the Sabbath ceremonial law? Is it a combination of these things? However you answer that question, it's probably a pretty straight line to whether or not you do or do not have a 24-hour period in which you don't work. And so there's three ways of breaking up the law. If I could just show a little bit of my cards and where I've come to personally, I wanted to take you to Romans chapter 14. And on the back of Romans chapter 14, I find it really hard to say you must take a Sabbath in 2026. Except the one whose faith is weak. Without quarreling over what? Disputable matters. So you say, okay, the Sabbath, she's going to talk about in verse 5 and onwards, Paul says that is a disputable matter. You're allowed to have different opinions on that. And so verse 5, he says, one person considers one day more sacred than another, another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And so I find it really hard to say everyone has to take a Sabbath because of verses like this. But if I just flip that for a second, this is someone who I studied at Bible college with. Her name is Jocelyn. She works at a church in the inner west. She did a little podcast about the idea of rest. Here's a quote from it. She says, I think that there is still a good rhythm of rest that God has set in place. It was in creation. This is not something that comes in response to sin. The Sabbath tells us something about how God has created it. So here's the idea. The Sabbath might be a really excellent idea for you, depending on what your lifestyle looks like. In any case, we can pick up some kind of principles about the way God has wired us for rest in some format. And this might be something for further discussion a little bit later. Should Christians practice the Sabbath? So I'm saying three things today. Theological sidebar over. If you've been scrolling, come back with me. We'll go to the second one. We did ultimate license. When you're connected to God, it gives you the ultimate license to rest and to pause and to slow down. The second one that I want to introduce to you is the idea of a new category for rest. Jesus gives us a new category, a new piece of language to understand what we're actually experiencing. So let's go back to Jotina Buck, because she actually gets incredibly close to Jesus in her description here. When she says bone deep, soul level tiredness, one that sleep alone can't fix, she's actually pretty close to what Kathy read to us before in Matthew chapter 11. And if you're a note-taking person, Matthew chapter 11 is our main scripture for today. Let's have a look at verse 28. Come to me, this is Jesus, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Notice here what Jesus is saying. He's saying that rest is not first and foremost found in a place. Rest is not first and foremost found in a particular day. Rest is not first and foremost found in a particular technique or practice. Rest is first and foremost found in a person. And so if you're kind of new to all this church stuff, if you're just trying to figure it out, here's the really simple pitch. You want rest? Get connected to Jesus, because he's offering rest. Now, how does that work? What does that rest actually look like? Verse 29 gives us the flesh on all of this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Here's your new category. Rest for your souls. To make it really clear, it's like on the one hand, there's rest for your bodies, and then on the other hand, there's rest for your souls. And Jesus does this all the time, have you noticed? Jesus is really keen to take a thing that you understand, a thing that you tangibly experience, and to help you understand a deeper truth through all of that, right? He does that with hunger. Do you know the story, right? He's got a bunch of people, they don't have any food, he's got some fish, got some bread, and he multiplies it, he feeds them, and the next thing he wants to teach them is, I am the bread of life. He does the same thing with thirst, right? He meets the woman at the well, and we know what it's like to be thirsty, to need something to drink. She's thirsty, she's drawing water, but she's also thirsty in her life. She's looking for relationship, commitment, love, all those things. And Jesus says, I can give you living water. He takes something physical that we all understand, and he tries to take us to a deeper reality behind it. That's exactly what he's doing here. He says, you know what it's like to be tired? You know what it's like to be absolutely crushed? You know what it's like to just really need a snooze? Let me tell you about how your soul needs rest. And that it is possible to live in God's world, disconnected from him, and it leads us feeling tired in our soul. It's a bone deep kind of problem that's more than just sleep to fix. Have you ever experienced this? This is, by the way, why holding out the gospel is such good news. When we hold out the gospel, we're actually offering people something that people need. We're saying, hey, are you tired? Jesus actually has something that will help with that. Something that you can't just find on whatever you scroll through. Some advice, some teaching, actually a relationship and a life-changing experience that will give you rest for your souls. I want to say today something specifically different at each congregation. The idea is that not everyone's welcome at every service, but each congregation is a little bit different. And I want to say something specifically about rest that might pop for us in the room at 6 p.m. differently from how it popped in the morning. So the first thing I'd like to say is something about rest from our devices, right? There was a really encouraging moment in church late last year. There was a little interview. So Phil interviewed Footy here, and Footy got up here, and I asked him to share his story because he'd just been experimenting with sitting on a rock. And I was like, can you get up there and share about that? Right? Just the idea of going, hey, I'm just going to leave my phone in the car. I'm just going to go like some piece of bush or wherever it is. And I'm going to try for maybe even 30 minutes, crazy chat, 30 minutes just to like sit on a rock and just not do much and intentionally connect to God without needing all of this input all the time. One of the greatest blockages to people in 2026 being connected to God is the thing in your pocket. And on the one hand, it can be excellent, right? Because you have the Bible at your fingertips at any given moment in a way that you can't just have a paper Bible in your hand all the time. It's amazing. You can listen to good stuff that's going to build you up. You can communicate with other people and build them up. Your phone can be a weapon for so much good. And in the same moment, your phone, your device, whatever you're using, can actually be a huge thing that disconnects you from God. If you're somebody who spends a lot of time driving, I've talked to a bunch of people recently who have said, sometimes I just try to not listen to something in the car and just let the uncomfortable silence between me and God be real, just to experience that, just to sit in that. If that's an experiment for you and that's your take home from today, that would be a great result. We can rest from our devices. Second thing that I want to say, and this is really going to land for some people specifically, might not land for all of us. I want to talk about the difference between God rest and me time. God rest and me time. This is not something I'm super well practiced in or good at articulating just yet, but I think there's something when we get excited about resting, pausing, and you're in your 20s, for example. I've seen a lot of people turn that into basically just being really selfish. And you say, you know what? I'm just going to like go sit on a beach for like a whole day. And actually, everyone else in my household can do all the cleaning because I'm resting with God. And you say, actually, all those things that other people need from me, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to be with God today. And actually, this is my God time. This is my Sabbath. This is my special holy moment. And the whole time, someone's saying like, hey, I actually really needed you to get back to me. Hey, I actually really needed you to do that thing you said you'd do. I actually really needed you to submit that work. I actually really needed you to put that assignment in because the rest of the group is reliant on it, all those kind of things. And sometimes it is possible that we get so excited about resting with God that we're actually just being Western individualists. If you get excited about the Sabbath, for example, just think about this. On the original version of the Sabbath, they didn't go individually to a beach and sit there. What they did is they got together for a meal. The Sabbath and rest isn't meant to necessarily isolate you from other people. We're meant to be able to rest in the presence of other people. In fact, part of rest is getting together to worship God with other people. I don't know how I went at articulating that. I think I'm still working on it. But the idea is that there can be God rest, and that is different from me time. So let me offer you a corrective. Again, I'm going to steal from my best friend, Jotina Buck. She says, hey, who in your life needs rest? One of the guys that I've been hanging out with last year has kind of become a mentor to me, just wrote a book about the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? When someone comes up to Jesus, they say, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the idea. We all love ourselves already. What we have to learn is how to love God and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love and faith is meant to turn us outward and not just inward. So if you're looking to kind of get your hands dirty, looking to get involved, I want to say, in terms of rest, don't just think about yourself tonight. Think about other people you live with. Think about other people in your world. I don't know how I went at articulating that. That was a bit of an experiment. I hope it might be useful to somebody. We're up to the third and final thing that I wanted to say tonight. We've talked about how resting in God is totally allowed because when you're connected to the God of the universe, it gives you the ultimate license to rest. We've talked about how Jesus introduces a new category for rest. It's called rest for your souls. And I'd like to finish before we actually get Rory and Britt up here a little bit how rest works in their life. I want to finish by talking about the myths that stop us resting. The myths that stop us resting. Let's get the first one up there. I can't rest because my worth comes from my productivity. You say, I have to be up till 11 p.m. I have to be up till 2 a.m. working on these things. I can't rest. I can't take a day off. That's crazy because I need to do things. I need to achieve things. I need to get ahead because ultimately my worth comes from my productivity. But hey, we can bust that myth. Because you don't matter to God based on your productivity. You matter to God because he's your father and you're his daughter. You matter to God because he's your father and you're his son. And he would delight in you even if you were unproductive. Myth number two. I actually really like being busy. And that's why I can't rest. If I'm not busy, it means I don't matter. And some of us, we intentionally make our lives busy because we want them to be busy. You know how, you know, lots of people have the chat. You say, oh, how are you going? You say, oh, I'm pretty busy, lots of things on. And for some of us, that's because things have been thrown at us that we can't avoid. For some of us, we made it that way on purpose because we like being busy. You say, of course I'm busy. That means people want my opinion. Of course I'm busy. That means I have friends. Of course I'm busy. That means I've got stuff that means I'm important. What do I want to be like? One of those people who's not busy and like no one actually cares what they're doing. I want to be busy. I want to be important because if I'm not busy, do I even matter? And here's the thing. You matter to God not because of what you do, whether it be more or less than the other person sitting in the row. You would matter to God if you were in a hospital bed doing literally nothing, because he looked down the barrel of eternity and he chose you. He said, I want that one to be part of my family. And even if you were inactive and nobody ever made your phone buzz ever again, you would still matter to the God of the universe who made you. Third and final myth before we get Britt and Rory up here. We say, I can't rest because life is short. You say, I can't rest because there's only one life and I have to maximize it. I have to get as much out of this life as I possibly can. This is called Western secular material. This is how normal Sydney people live. You say, there's only one life. If all of the biohacking stuff goes really good, then maybe I'll get 90-something years, maybe more than 100 years if I believe some certain people. But that's all I get. And after that, it's lights out, it's blackout, and I will never experience another thing. So you know what I need to do in this life is get all the experiences. Jesus taught people, you know this, he taught people that life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And we say, yeah, yeah, yeah. I wonder if in 2026 Jesus showed up, he would say, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions or experiences. And we'd all go, ooh, really? We've been taught somewhere along the line that the more experiences you have, the better you are. That the best life is one that's jam-packed with experiences. And what that means is that you're desperate to experience everything there is and you actually don't enjoy it as a gift the way that God designed it. Think about a buffet, right? Have you been to a buffet on a holiday recently? You've been on a cruise, something like that? The worst way to enjoy a buffet is to say, there's all this food here, so many options, I have to eat all of it so that I don't miss out. Because there's only one buffet and I've got to max it out. It's actually just going to leave you feeling rubbish. The best way to enjoy a buffet is to say, it's okay, I'm just going to enjoy this food right now. There'll be more food in the long term. I am not a desperate experience junkie and it's okay to rest. This is how eternity impacts today. You see, I don't know where along the line, somebody made Christianity all about making your life good right now, and it will help your life right now. But somewhere along the line, we forgot that Jesus came to bring eternal life. That's his big ticket. He didn't just die on the cross so that you could have slightly better sleep. He died on the cross so that you could have eternal life, and if you will internalize that, if you will accept that, if you will actually take that in deep into your soul, it will help you to truly rest in this life, because this life is not all there is. And this life might be short, but life itself has plenty of room to enjoy the gifts of God. And what this means is I can embrace the way God made me. I can truly rest. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to ask Britt and Rory a little bit about how this lands in their life a little bit more personally. Would you like to pray with me? God, we repent that so often we try to bust out of being creatures and we just won't accept the way you've made us. We ask that you'd help us to enjoy being your creatures the way that you made us. And God, I ask for people who've come in here today with a bone deep soul level tiredness that they would find you. I pray for people in here who've come in here just needing a little bit of extra wisdom, that they would gain some wisdom about rest, but actually in a deeper way that they would discover what it is to truly be connected to you, so that we'd be able to live life as a gift in your world. God, I thank you so much for 2026. I pray going forward that actually it would just be such a good year for growth in faith, that some of us would come to faith for the very first time. I pray that you'd take us deeper into the things of you. I pray ultimately that we would know you and that we would enjoy you forever. And everyone who agreed said, amen, amen. Hey, can you welcome up Britt and Rory? They're going to bring some chairs. Give them a round of applause. Give them a round. All right. Thank you so much. These guys are married, by the way, if you haven't put it together. Ah, amazing. All right. I have three questions, kind of four, depending on how you count it. Rory, first one for you. Tom. You work in healthcare and you're a shift worker. And so the idea of like once a week Sabbath, kind of crazy talk for you. How does rest actually look like when you're a shift worker and your calendar is crazy?
Great question. So I'm a nurse. I don't have much routine in my life. I've got a lot more routine than a lot of the other nurses in here, which I'm very thankful for. But I truly believe that gratitude and rest go hand in hand. And I'll explain that. So a lot of those myths, geez, rebuke. I resonate a lot with them. And, you know, I want to be able to provide. I want to be productive. I want to be doing stuff. You know, I want to, you know, work hard. But, you know, I'll be sitting there on a Saturday and I won't rest. And it's a choice that I made. And like looking it up on the screen, like that's like kind of gross. It's pretty disgusting. It's like, it's sin. It's me looking at God and being like, you know, I won't murder. But what you said about rest, I reckon I'm better than that. I reckon I can do better. And I guess that's what the world tells me, especially on a lot of the social media apps and all that. They'll tell us, you know, work hard and you'll make it. And I feel like I'm so easily sucked into that trap. But in saying so, when we go away from our devices and we go away from the voices of the world, I find that I can be much more grateful. Mm. I think I've got a lot more gratitude for the things that God has given me. Even like today, when the storm went through, I was like, wow, I'm glad that I'm not like soaking wet. I'm so thankful for that. And I think that goes hand in hand, right? We surf a bit and like being out there in the waves, it's cliche, but it does definitely gives you a bit of, wow, like this is awesome. How great is this? And I think that gratitude actually kind of fills my soul a bit. And I can look to the cross where Jesus died for my sins. How good is that? That's probably the best thing ever. So I think in a world, especially in my world, where I don't have much routine and, you know, things go from side to side, up and down, gratitude. Gratitude's a great anchor, I guess, in my life to think more about rest, especially when it comes to Jesus. Yeah.
I love that. So good. Britt, you have a different kind of job. Well, for the last 2 years, your job has been church work. So you've been doing a ministry traineeship here at church. You've crushed it. What does rest look like when one of the places that you go to rest is now kind of work?
Yeah, it was a real struggle at first, I'll admit. It was just like everything was like I had different buckets and then everything was poured into one bucket. And I was like, what the heck do I do with this? But in God's grace, he has helped me over time, just trying to like make me more humble in accepting it, but just trying to figure out. I think it's been a lot of test and trial, like that didn't work so well, this is a bit better, and different seasons play into it. But I think just having at least like a day, and that day might change, it's not always a set day, but just having like a day or something, even like a half day where I'm kind of like, I'm not gonna try and unless it's like super urgent, obviously, but I'm not going to respond to messages that have to do like with church things where I'm like, that can actually wait. Or I try and not answer, I'm not so good at this, but try and not answer messages like outside of a time frame that I'm working in. Or I try to see people who fill me up and like my really close friends that I feel comfortable with, because in that sense I think it was really cool how you pointed out like the greatest commandment is love God, love others. And you can still love others by investing in your friends and other people who you feel really comfortable with. And so spending that day or that half day with people, even though I'm introverted, like filled up and filling others up on that day has been really good. Yeah.
So good. Now, third, fourth question, depending on how you want to go. I'd love some Bible input. We want to be a Bible church, not just people's opinions. And I would love for your opinion on the Bible when it comes to rest. What's something that's actually changed your practice, changed your thoughts about rest?
Yeah, so what better to go to than the Psalms, right? Went there earlier today. Psalm 62. It actually popped up in my Bible reading earlier late last year.
Can you give us a minute to turn Psalm
62? Yeah, Psalm 62.
Psalm 62?
Verses 5 to 7. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Like, few passages explain rest better than that, right?
Where did we get... you guys just pull that up just then? That is ninja. That is really unreal. Good. That's good. Sorry, Roy.
That is a great passage about rest. I think it kind of summarizes a bit of the sermon today where Jesus is the rock, right? He is where we go to rest our souls. And I think that's a great discernment, resting our bodies from resting our souls, because sometimes a sleep's not enough for a bone-deep restlessness. Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Britt, you get the final word. Where do you want to take us?
When you asked this question before, I had something in Hebrews, but I've actually gone somewhere else in Hebrews because I kind of actually had an experience with the thing you were mentioning about it's rest for our souls. And someone who's a Pilates instructor, I am very guilty of, like, it's... I heard someone say Sabbath... Well, you know, I guess rest, you can think about it. Sabbath is not, it's not about like the goal of just self-care. It's actually about enjoying God, but also like worshipping Him, whether that's through the people you love or to Him, or both really. But I, earlier this year, was like really restless, like in my soul. I was like that bone deep quote. I was like, that's deep. That's so real for me right now in that season. And Ellie and I were chatting about something because I struggle with perfectionism, and he was like, "Where in the Bible do you go? Where would you go for that?" And I had to like do a dive into some verses, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 was a really good one, and I actually found rest, even though it was still like my life was really chaotic. I actually found proper rest for my soul in this verse, which says, "For by one sacrifice, He," as in Jesus, "has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." And I was just like, oh, even in the chaotic, like, life is still churning really crazy, but I actually found so much rest in that for someone who is wearied by perfectionism. And I feel like that was just an example of a God moment where He was like, just be humble, like, I'm gentle, just, like, come to me, find rest in the salvation that I have already won for you. Yeah.
That's so good. AV team are the heroes of today for me. thanks for sharing some stuff on rest. I'll close by praying, band. You guys can come up. The song that we're about to sing is called Rock of Ages. It's got this really good language about clefts, which is like a hiding place. It's got this language around refuges, a place where you can rest, and actually that God becomes that resting place for us. So the song is designed to help us keep thinking about rest. Thank you guys so much for sharing. We've appreciated having you with us. Can I pray? God, please make us people who are able to rest. For those of us who just are unable to rest, please help us to do that. For those of us who are disconnected from You and have no rest, please bring us to You. And God, we pray that as we sing this song right now, we would experience some form of resting and refuging in You. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Let's stand and sing if you're up for it.